will you come and read to us, please?
Isaiah chapter 52. Awake, awake, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendour, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust. Rise up, sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without nothing you will be redeemed. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. At first my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately Assyria has oppressed them. And now what do I have here, declares the Lord. For my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock, declares the Lord. And all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. Therefore my people will know my name. Therefore in that day they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, for you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. The suffering and glory of the servant. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand.
1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also are like living stones being built into a spiritual house, to be holy, a priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And the verses that I want to focus on this morning is verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who calls you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I've been thinking a lot about the church and its future in this country, and especially this week when Donald Trump posted that picture of himself as what he said was a doctor. It wasn't. But statistics confirm that we're getting smaller right across the Western world. We're getting older, and makes me wonder what you may think of the church. Not just Bramley churches, but the Universal Church of Christ. Christians everywhere. We know something of what the world thinks, don't we? Thinks that we've had its day, that it's toothless, interfering, as we've seen with the Pope and with Donald Trump, who J.D. Vance saying that the Pope should be careful when he talks about theology. It's beyond understanding. Respectable but out of touch, maybe, is the church. Something to blame for declining morals. How about this church? What do people think of us? Nice but misguided, nice if you have the time. This is what Scripture says about the Church of Christ. It says, as I've read twice now, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It tells us who we are and what we believe and why we exist. Peter is writing to Christians who feel marginalized, pressured, out of place in the world, foreigners in a foreign land. You know what it's like when you go on holiday and people are speaking another language all around you and you feel confused, unless you're one of those who is able to speak a foreign language. That's what Peter says that the Christians in our world feel like today. We feel like we're in a foreign land. And the scripture reminds us how God himself described Israel in the Old Testament. Exodus 19 verse 5 says, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. And then in Deuteronomy 7 verse 6, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples to face on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." Treasured possession. I wonder if you've got a treasured possession. I don't know if anybody's got a safe at home where they keep their treasured possessions. But what do you do with your treasured possessions? Maybe it's your photograph album. That's a bit old-fashioned, I know, but it's still something that's very important to all of us. What do you do with your treasured possessions? God says that we are his treasured possessions. And we are the new Israel. Well, it's very important that God... very important and loved in God's eyes. It works like an inheritance that we haven't claimed. Can you imagine that somebody, your great aunt or great uncle, dies and leaves you a treasured possession of a great fortune? But people don't claim it, according to Peter. He says it's like having an inheritance that we haven't claimed. That's not to say that God has finished with Israel. The New Testament is fairly clear. There's purpose for Israel still to be fulfilled. And what that is and how it happened is a subject of a dozen other sermons. But for us, we are God's people. This verse is not just a description. It's a declaration. God is telling his people, this is who you truly are. And the first thing is that he says that we are a chosen people. A chosen people. Takes us to the great scripture truth of grace. We are chosen not because of what we are or what we have done, but because of God's grace. Israel were not chosen because they were the strongest nation or the biggest or the best, but they were chosen so they could demonstrate the power of God in action. Deuteronomy 7 verse 7 says, "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh and the king of Egypt." I'm sure many of you will remember being at school and being in a line, being chosen for a sports team. Some were picked first, not me. Some were picked last, quite often. Some weren't picked at all, they were assigned. But God doesn't choose like that. He doesn't choose on the basis of talent or popularity or performance. He chooses based on love. You didn't earn his choice, and therefore you can't lose his choice. You were chosen before you were born. And when God says you're not enough, when the world says you're not enough, God says, "You are mine, my treasured possession." You're chosen by God to demonstrate his power to save. Not chosen because we are better, stronger, wiser than anyone else. We are chosen simply because if God can choose us, he can choose anyone. God can use me, he can use anyone. All is necessary for us to recognize what God is doing through us, and that's far from easy. God has chosen us because of his great love for us. John 15 verse 16 says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Appointed. Are chosen to bear fruit for him. Ron's already reminded us of the upcoming elections. It'll be a time when people are chosen. Now we will choose on the basis of who will do that job best. But God chooses us on the basis of how we are loved. When hardship comes, it's about how we respond. When it comes to our lives, they're an open book to all those around us. We have nothing to hide. You and I are loved, we are chosen, we are special. Do you know you're loved and chosen? Do you know that you're special to the Father? Because that's what Scripture tells us. And then it talks about us being a praying people, a royal priesthood. Now our tradition, the Baptist tradition, doesn't ordain priests. We believe that all of us are priests. And priests were the Old Testament intercessors for the people. They're the ones who prayed on behalf of the people, who sacrificed on behalf of the people, standing between a holy God and sinful man. The scripture tells us those days are over. Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, "Therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." We don't need sacrifices anymore. We don't need to slaughter animals in order to get forgiveness. Jesus is our high priest and he was slaughtered on our behalf. We don't need anyone to pray on our behalf, to offer sacrifices for us. We have individual relationship with God. But this scripture tells us that every Christian is now a priest, and it's us that offer sacrifices. And the book of Romans reminds us, doesn't it, that it's our whole lives are a sacrifice. We're living sacrifices, literally a sacrifice that is alive, laid out before God. And so it is that we pray on behalf of the world, a world that will not or cannot pray for itself. Will not because of stubborn hearts to refuse the truth of God, cannot because they don't know Jesus and haven't heard the good news. We stand before God and the holy world, and a holy God and an unholy world, praying on their behalf. We're not toothless, we're essential. And that's why we need to be a praying church. going to be through prayer that we grow. Prayer will sustain us and carry us through. Prayer will maintain our unity. Prayer will reveal to us what we should do as a church to win people for Jesus. Prayer is essential, and also we are essential for our prayers. So how's your prayer life? Does it reflect that intercessory attitude we're called to? Are you standing in between the gap between God the Father and the world and saying, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive them. And then it says that we're a holy people. Let's remind ourselves of what holy means. It means God has made it special because he's chosen. The seventh day is holy because God chose it. The ground that Moses stood on was holy because God chose it. Israel were holy because God chose them. And we too are holy because God has chosen us. We've been set apart. Now, when you go into a museum, the very special items that are on display are set behind a rope. Now, it's not because they are unwanted, but because they are too valuable to be touched casually. And holiness, about being chosen, is not distant or strange. It's about being set apart for a special use. And God has placed a rope around your life, not to restrict you, but to protect you, to give you a purpose. Holiness is not a burden, it is a privilege. But that's not the end of it. Being holy is a two-way thing, it seems to me. We are chosen, but we also, there is an aspect of holiness that demands that we choose. We sing a song, and in one of the verses of the song, it says, I choose to be holy. We're called to be holy just like Jesus, to treat others as Jesus did, to accept children as Jesus did, to care for the poor and sick as Jesus did, to give our lives as Jesus did. 1 Peter 1 verse 15 says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. It's as much about choosing to be holy as being chosen to being holy. Israel depended upon its chosen status and neglected again to be holy, and again and again. They chased after foreign gods. They ate the wrong foods. They failed to keep the law. They continually broke down the walls of distinction and compromised their uniqueness. Leviticus 10 verse 10 says, you must distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. And they failed to do that. And we too do that when we allow ourselves to be polluted by the world. We choose to be holy. We choose not to swear, not to give in to lust, jealousy, anger, greed. Choose not to gossip. Choose not to compromise our faith, to be chosen, to be holy. Then it says that we are a people of God. And I believe that means about being a praying people. In our natural state, the Bible says that we are not the people of God. We are referred to as people of the world. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you were used to live, and followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Now we have been purchased by the blood of Christ on the cross. We are God's special possession, treasured possession. Privilege bringing a responsibility. How do we know what treasure things are? Well, they often say, don't they, if a fire occurred in your house, what's the first thing you grab and bring out? Most people would say insurance policy. But the fact is that we will bring out the things that mean the most to us. And this privilege brings a responsibility of being God's treasured possession. That English word declare can be translated as show forth, to advertise. Same root as the beacon in the light in the darkness. It's said to be a beacon to the rest of the world. Chosen to be holy. And it's the ministry of the whole people of God to be holy, to be set apart, to be different. Lights on a hill, said Jesus. Salt in our food, said Jesus. We draw people to Jesus. This means holy living, as I said before, but also it's about witnessing about Jesus to the world around us. We are the church, God's chosen means to tell people to today's world about Jesus. And that means having a voice, a willingness to speak out for Jesus with our family, friends, work colleagues, neighbours, people we meet, to be bold. Some people collect rare items, coins, stamps, even guitars, things like that. They display them, protect them, insure them, cherish them. God calls you to be his special possession. Not his project, not his employee, his treasure. You're not tolerated, you are treasured. So what do you think of the church? A chosen generation, a chosen people, called out of darkness into the light. I hope you think more of yourselves than you did just half an hour ago. Because we now know that we are God's treasured possession, and he loves us and he cares for us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that each one of us here this morning is treasured by you. We are a special possession of God. And my prayer is that as we go into this coming week, we won't listen to the world that says we're just ordinary and run-of-the-mill. But we'll listen to your word and to you, Jesus, and your power by the Holy Spirit that reminds us daily we are special, a treasure, focused on and loved by God. My prayer is that we would be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. In Jesus' name.